Gary,
let's roll.
Hey, Gary. Welcome. Well, folks, we're going to have a great call tonight. I think it's one of the calls that I would love to have been on if I was just a starting copywriter, because what we're going to do tonight is talk about some of the most effective strategies, some of the most pressing questions that you have about writing effective copy that sells. I'm going to introduce you to Gary, but first, before that, doing that, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Michael Ford, and some of you know me as the Success Doctor. And you probably also know that I've been the copywriter for some of the biggest names on the internet today. For example, I've written copy for John Reese, Yannick Silver, Michael Kimball, Kirk Christensen, Stephen Pierce, Sean Casey, and many more. And I started out in copywriting because I had no choice. I was a salesperson in my early career, and I was just not making any headway with some of the more traditional door-knocking techniques. So one day I decided to write my first sales letter. And then, lo and behold, by writing copy, I've noticed my sales starting to skyrocket, because now I was attracting people to come to me, qualified people that I could easily sell to. And then later on, I discovered direct mail. I was writing direct mail pieces and selling with sales letters and copywriting. I was also writing TV commercials and producing TV infomercials for some cosmetic surgeons and hair transplant surgeons. And then later on, I decided to plunge into copywriting full-time, and now I write copy almost exclusively for the Internet. One of my mentors throughout this entire process is a man who I believe is the king of copy, the prince of print. I think Gary writes some of the most compelling copy available in the world today, and even on the web. If you study Gary's letters, and probably the single greatest copywriting how-to resource online, which is the GaryHalbertLetter.com, you will build the not only the single greatest, most profitable skill you can ever learn, but you will also have an edge over 99.9% of the people out there. And by studying, I don't mean just read those letters. I mean write them out word by word, if not all of them. And look at how Gary uses tempo, uses psychology, the subtleties and nuances, how he tells compelling stories, how he uses emotional grabbers, how he presses emotional hot buttons. All of those things are super important. How he makes these compelling offers that makes you whip out your wallet and buy now. Because, I mean, before long, when you do that, you're going to find yourself writing copy that grabs the attention of the reader until the very last line of your copy, until they order your product or service. So be prepared, because this call is probably going to be the most power-packed call you've ever been on, and dare I say, the most important call of your life. So without further ado, it gives me great pleasure to introduce you the greatest copywriter of all time, my mentor, Mr. Gary Halbert. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to talk a little bit, and before I address your questions, because I want to kind of motivate you to really learn this. I live in Miami, and every day on the eastern coast here in southern Florida, people wash ashore from other countries, mainly from Haiti and mainly from Cuba. I want you to imagine that two Cubans wash ashore on the same day, maybe 10 miles apart, but they're both barely alive, but they're healthy, okay, and they make it. One of those Cubans used to work as a dishwasher, and he found a way to rip off some of the guests at the hotel where he was, and he has $500,000 in a waterproof bag strapped to his body. He comes ashore with $500,000. The other guy comes ashore, and he doesn't have anything except a tattered pair of bathing trunks on. He has nothing, nothing whatsoever, except that he is a brain surgeon. He was a brain surgeon in Cuba. Now, let's fast forward to about 3 years from now and take a look at both of those guys. The first guy, the guy who had $500,000 that he stole, it would be my guess that he will no longer have his $5,000, that he'll have gone through it, he'll have partied his way through it, and now he will be scratching to make some money. He'll probably end up being something illegal in drugs. He'll probably be dead. He might be in jail or something, but he won't have much. The guy that came ashore with nothing, he'll live in one of the best sections of Miami. He'll maybe live in Coral Beach. He'll have a Mercedes, probably a great wife, the beginnings of a family, a very lucrative and high-paying career in a hospital, etc. The difference is that the guy who the last guy I talked about came across with true wealth, the only wealth that really exists, which is the wealth between your ears. Somebody can take your money away, but if you have it between your ears, you can never be poor. You can only be broke, and that's always a temporary situation. And in my opinion, there is no more valuable skill in the world than to be able to write a written sales message. A written sales message is the basis of everything, from a television script to radio to newspaper ads to internet, et cetera, et cetera. I once did a seminar called it's the best seminar I ever gave, How to Write a Sales Letter That Will Make You Rich. And that, the word letter should have been changed to message. But if you can write a sales letter, and I've done it, you can literally reduce your overhead to like $1.19 for a legal pad and a couple of ballpoint pens. You can do it any place. You can do it from the rainforest, et cetera. A lot of people, if they're copywriters, they ask me, I'm a copywriter, how do I get clients? Well, that is an indication that he hasn't really learned his skill yet, because a good copywriter never even has to think about getting clients. If you want clients, I mean, if I wanted to work, I can guarantee you I could work 40 hours a day, 365 days a year, and never begin to scratch the surface of the number of people that want to hire me. About 3 weeks ago, I wanted to have a little extra money. I wrote an email. It took me 11 minutes to write it. So far, I've made $95,000 for it. I was just bored for a few minutes. You can really get to the point where you do that, too. Now, I could tell you all the successes I've had. A lot of people know about those. The most widely mailed letter in history that mailed 600 million copies, and a lot of things. But I'm telling you, you can do that from the jungles of Brazil. You can do it from a jail cell. It is a portable skill that is the most valuable skill you can ever learn. And if you learn it, I promise you, you can have anything in the world you want. You can use it to get yourself all the money in the world. You can use it to get yourself the finest specimen of the opposite sex you could possibly want. You can use it to produce presidential elections. I am literally begged by both parties, and I won't work for them, because I don't think if I worked for any of them that the party I worked for could lose an election. And so what it's really worth doing, learning to do this right. And I'd like to kind of to tell you something that I think will, I try and write in a way that has an impact on people. And I want to read two letters to you. And I start my seminars this way. And both of these letters are written to your mother. Whether she's living or dead, we're going to assume it doesn't matter. And I'm going to tell you, what I have everybody do is I give everybody two first-class stamps, two number 10 envelopes. I have them write the address in the upper left-hand corner of the envelope. And for anybody that's really a novice out there, that's the corner. We call that the corner card of the envelope. And I have them add one additional thing, which is the date and the day, because I never want them to forget this. And then I have the address to their mother, but to their own address. In other words, the seminar's the attendee's address. And then I have them handwrite two letters to their mother, and I'm going to read to you the first letter. Dear Mom, I'm very busy right now, and I don't have time to call, so that's why I'm writing you this letter. You know, Mom, not only are you responsible for my very existence, you are also the nourishment that has made my life sparkle. I'm under a lot of stress right now, and for some reason, I started thinking about you. It has occurred to me maybe I haven't let you know recently how much I appreciate you and how much I love you. I especially like remembering you, and then I have them fill in something special, like, on my 18th birthday when you gave me that gold Rolex watch, or whatever it was. Anyway, I'm going to make it a point to see you just as soon as I can, and then you sign love and your name. I have them fold that up, put it in the envelope, put a stamp on the envelope, and seal it. Then we do it all over again with the second envelope, and they write their name at the top of the envelope and the corner card, and below that they write the date and they write the time, which will be just a few minutes later. They address the envelope once again to their mom, to their home, and then they send me, they write another letter to their mom. This time it says, "Dear Mom, colon, if I weren't such a long way from home, I probably wouldn't have the guts to tell you this, but the following has been true ever since I was born. You have made my life a living hell. Every person I know has a mother that is superior to you in every positive way imaginable. You are nothing more than a wrinkled up old bitch, and as far as I'm concerned, the biggest waste of skin ever God ever created. Speaking of God, as the good Lord knows, you're certainly not too mentally swift either. So just in case your low IQ keeps you from understanding what I'm trying to say, let me make it perfectly clear, ... and then we have a subhead. Eat shit and die. Please don't call or write me. I have no inclination whatsoever to communicate with you ever again. Reluctantly, your son or daughter," you sign your name, and then it says, "P.S., Dad sucks too." All right, I wish I could hear the reaction of people on the line listening to that, but I'm going to pretend I can, and I'm going to ask you the same questions that I ask the people in my seminar. First of all, I don't know if you can unmute this just for a second so I can get a reaction, but I want to know how many of you people on this call think that had your mother received one of those letters or the other, that there would be much of a difference in her reaction from which, depending on which letter she got. Do any of you think that's true? Can you unmute it and have them tell me that?
Sure, just a sec. There we go.
Okay.
I don't think I can unmute because we have over, the call is so packed that we have so much feedback
okay.
on the lines here.
I'm going to assume that most of you are smart enough to realize that there would be a dramatic difference in the reaction of your mother depending on which of those letters she got. And then I would ask all of the attendees, and I'm going to ask you, what is the difference in the cost between the two envelopes? Virtually none. What is the difference in the energy that it took you to address the two envelopes? Virtually none. What is the difference in the amount of postage you paid to mail those two envelopes? Virtually none. What is the difference in the cost of the sheet of paper upon which you wrote the letter? Virtually none. What is the difference in energy and time it took you to write that letter? Virtually none. All right? And yet, one of those letters would have created a great, warm, bonding feeling, and another one would have caused despair and a great deal of grief and unhappiness. And what was the difference? There was only one difference in the world, and that's the words on a piece of paper. There is nothing in the world that is stronger than the words on a piece of paper. Whether they end up being spoken in a speech, delivered in a script, or anything, but the written word is the strongest, most source of power in the entire universe. Now, I'm going to tell you something else before we get into questions. Really and truly, it doesn't matter after a degree how good of a writer you are. It depends. What you really want to be is a good knower. You need to know things that other people don't know. That will make the big difference between your response. Now, I'm going to give you an outlandish example. Let's suppose that you're at a New York cocktail party, very sophisticated, and there's a beautiful woman in there, and everybody is trying to hit on this beautiful woman. And there are guys go in there that tell her they can get her into show business. There are guys that tell her they are multimillionaires. There are young guys with ripped abs. There are guys that talk about their cars. You know, there are guys about how they own a modeling agency, et cetera, et cetera. But you have some special, secret knowledge that nobody else in that all those guys trying to pick her up knows. And what you know is that she's a heroin addict, and she's dying for a fix. So everybody can make their pitch, but you could walk over to her with a baggie of powder and show it to her and say, hey, I just scored some good skag. Would you like to try it out with me? That girl will be out the door with you in a split second because you hit what she really wanted. Now, that's an exaggerated thing, but I would rather make my points in an exaggerated way than have you not get them. So the first thing you need to know is you need to start knowing things. You need to know about people. You need to know about strategies. You need to know a lot of things that you don't know. I'm going to tell you a few of those things to get started. Let's suppose that you had a rich uncle who died and left you 1,000 homes all over the United States. And for some reason, they all had to be sold in 90 days, and they all had to be painted. And they could only be painted one color. Would you know what color to paint them? I would. You would have them painted yellow. Why is that? Because yellow is the color that has the most. What if to paint them, if you live in America, you should paint them silver? Because that's Americans' favorite color for cars right now. It's silver. This is an example of knowing things. You need to know those things. You need to study people. Now, I'll tell you some things that you don't know that were really important for you to know. Decades ago, Claude Hopkins conducted an experiment in newspapers in New York City with millions of circulation. And he was introducing a new product to market. You didn't have to pay to get a sample of this product because they knew that once you sampled this product, you would become a lifelong customer. So he divided the call to action into three cells. The first one was, it's easy to get your free sample of this product. All you have to do is write your name and address on a piece of paper and send it to us. As soon as we receive it, we'll send you the free sample. Cell two, it's easy to get your free sample of this product. All you have to do is call such and such a number, give the operator who answers your name and address, and we'll send the product right out to you immediately. Cell number three, it's easy to get your free sample of this new product. If you want, you can write your name and address on a piece of paper and send it to us, or you can call us and give the operator who answers your name and address. Either way you choose, as soon as we have your name and address, we'll send you the sample of the product. Now, I can't hear you, we can't talk, but I'm assuming you're still there. I always get the feeling that I'm talking to empty air when I do these calls. But assuming you're still there, I bet you would like to know the answer. And the answer is the call-only option triples the response for lead generation, triples the response. Now, there is a reason for this. The other two responses allow the person the option of delay, and delay is the death of a sale. But wait a minute. That was done 50 or 60 years ago. What happened if it does not? I've tested it 17 different times, and the phone-only option triples the response every single time. It triples it. I bet some of you didn't know that. So I'll tell you something else I'll bet some of you didn't know. And you need to start getting off your ass and finding these things out if you want to get world class. Did you know that more people will call a POTS number than a toll-free number? POTS means plain old telephone service. Do you know that if you live in the 702 area code and you ask people to call that number, you will get more calls, and they'll be free, than you will if you put an 888 or an 800 number? You take your own guess why. I don't know why. I know it's true. Agora Publishing knows it's true. We've just tested it over and over. My guess is that when the people call a toll-free number, they are afraid they're going to get a high-pressure salesman or they're going to get trapped in voicemail hell. But it really doesn't matter. I don't really care what the answer is. I only care that I know the answer, okay? Now, a bunch of you people are working online, and I'm going to let you in on a little inside secret. Ed Dale tracked me down one time, and he said, He came over from Australia, and he said, I've been going every place and telling people I wanted to meet the best copywriter in the world. And he says, all roads seem to lead to you right here in this living room. And we talked. I said, that's very flattering. And we talked for a little while. And I said, hey, Ed, you've got some websites, don't you? And he said, yeah, I've got five of them. I said, I'll bet you I can talk to you for 3 minutes and dramatically improve the response of each one of your websites, every one of them, no matter what they're selling. He had five websites. And I said, if I win, you owe me a dinner, right? He said, okay. And I said, do this. Don't take away the page that says, click here to order. By the way, if you've got a website and you've got a page that says, click here to order, you are throwing money away. You're throwing it away. And I said, here's what you do. You say, it's easy to order. Just pick up your phone and dial such and such a number and give the operator who answers, you know, your ordering information. He made that change, and it worked so well, he went back to doing it the other way because he didn't want the rest of the online community to know what he was doing. And we talked on the phone, and I said, hey, Ed, do you owe me a dinner or not? And he said, I think I owe you dinners for the rest of your life. Because the least improvement that he made was 200%, and it went up to 1,000%. Now, for you online guys, there's some online secrets I am not going to tell you. I mean, you're not ready for that powerful of secrets, but I'm going to tell you one very powerful one. I'm going to tell you a couple of very powerful ones. One of them is you get somebody to come to your site. And a lot of people, and Michael, you did this at AskGaryHalbert.com, and I told you there was a fatal flaw, and I was going to tell you what it was?
That's right.
Okay. You said, put your name and email address here. That stops a monster percentage of people from going any further. Now, I myself signed up for Classmates.com, much to my dismay, as I'm sure a bunch of you others, because they never, ever stop hitting me. And people fear that. Now, you notice on my website, you can click here to view newsletter archives, and the other thing is click here if you want to be on my announcement list. Now, I have thousands of people on my announcement list because they've learned to trust me, but you don't have to be on my announcement list. You can just go there. You can just go to my website and read all the stuff, and I don't have to know your web address. So that is a killer. Now, you got a lot of questions, but instead of 500 questions now, you would probably have, you know, 3,000 questions.
Right.
If you hadn't put it there. Now, here's the other monster mistake, and I can see all your heads out there buzzing, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, blah, 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 which is going to lead me to talking to efficiency versus effectiveness. But first, I'm going to tell you, if your website says click here to order, you are standing on a cliff throwing your money away. Because I will tell you something. Click here to order. How many people visit your order page, and how many people order? I'll tell you what the average stats is. 1 out of 20 people who visit your order page order. Now, why would you guess that is? Do you think these people just like to window shop order pages? No, that's not it at all. The thing is, it is much easier to not fill that form as of something they want than it is to make the telephone call. You want to give them only the option of calling to get it. And people will say, but I want to capture their email. You want a sale, okay? So you make them call you. And another thing about order forms that everybody hates, computers are completely unforgiving. You're going to ask them to type in their name, their address, a bunch of stuff, their credit card stuff, and if you transpose one number, bong, an error thing goes off. I know a guy, Scott Haynes, very good copywriter, very good friend of mine, wanted to order a piece of software and gave up after 17 tries. You know, and the order form is an invitation to sales doom. Anybody that has a click here to order is throwing money away. But I tell you what, you guys think of, but it's so efficient. Now, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the difference between being efficient and being effective. I was born in Parkersburg, West Virginia. That is on the West Virginia side of the Ohio River. If you travel on the river 30 miles north and go to the other side, you will be in Marietta, Ohio. Now, the Mississippi River is possibly 1,000 miles west of the Ohio River. Now, I want you to imagine that two guys are in a canoe in the Mississippi River, and I don't care which way they're paddling, north or south, but they've learned how to paddle that canoe like pros. They have a perfect J stroke. You know, they hardly ripple the water. They get the most forward movement for the least energy expended. But guess, you know, they're very efficient, just like everybody on the net is. They strive for efficiency. But guess what? They're never going to get to Marietta, Ohio, because Marietta, Ohio ain't on the Mississippi River. Now let's put somebody in the Ohio River that doesn't even have a canoe. Let's put him on a log and make him paddle with his hands. This is about the least efficient way he could do it. But as long as he's going north, he's going to get to Marietta, Ohio, because he's doing something that's effective. I wish I could get some feedback from you, but do you all understand the difference? You know, you strive to be effective. Efficiency is a bonus. But everybody on the web says, but this is so efficient, you know. You want to learn to do what is effective. Okay, that's a few opening comments, and now we'll answer some questions until I think of another rant to go off on.
Thanks, Gary. That was awesome. Thank you very much for sharing that. I have so many questions. As you know, I could have probably had more if I followed
just
your advice.
We'll try them. Let me answer the question about long copy versus short copy.
This is the one question I think.
Okay.
Out of 500, I probably got about 25% of it was just that one question.
First, I want to tell you that I think everybody that asked that question is a complete moron. But having said that, I'll try and redeem myself by explaining it to you. I want you to imagine that God came down from heaven. And if you have a wife or a girlfriend that you love, he took her away from you and you could never have her back. And he put 100 women on an island. And God said to you, I just feel like having some fun. And so because I feel like that, I'm going to make you select the woman you spend the rest of your life with from one of these 100 women. And just because I'm God and I'm feeling ornery, I'm going to make it a little bit more difficult for you. I'm not going to let you talk to any of these women on the phone. I'm not going to let you see a picture of them. I'm not going to let you see a videotape of them. Nothing. I'm going to ask every one of those women to write you a letter about herself. And from those 100 letters, you have to select the lady you're going to spend the rest of your life with. What do you want that woman, that letter to say? Hi, I'm Bunny. I'm an Aquarius and I like to walk on the beach in the moonlight. I don't think that's the kind of letter you want. I think you want to know everything about Bunny. I think you want to know how old she is, how tall she is, how much she weighs, what color hair she has, what her teeth are like. That's just physical stuff. You want to know what she's into, what kind of education she has, you know, just everything. You're going to spend the rest of your life with this woman. I'm Bunny and I'm Aquarius doesn't get it, does it? Now, let's bring that down to earth a little bit more because that's kind of exaggerated. Let's make it a car. And for some reason, you are no longer allowed to see the car that you're going to pick. The government came down and said, from now on, nobody can see a car before they buy it. They can't hear about it, anything. The car makers just send you a letter. Well, what would you want to know about the car? Hey, this is a good car. It gets great miles per gallon, you know, goes from 0 to 60 in 5.4 seconds, and it's real comfortable, too. I don't think that's what you'd want. I think you'd want a 50-page letter telling you everything there was to know about that car. And so it is with selling. The people who are not interested don't want to hear anything about what you have to say, won't read anything. To hell with them. We don't care about them. We're going after the buyers. One more illustration.